إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. So today my brothers and my sisters, بارك الله فيكم, we begin just the first chapter of a tremendous work of Aqeedah, that is the Aqeedah that has been compiled in poetry form by the great Imam Ibn Abi Dawud al-Sistani rahimahullah, or Abu Bakr Abdullah Ibn Abi Dawud al-Sistani, the son of the great Imam of Hadith, and that is Abu Dawud Suleiman Ibn Ashhaf al-Sistani rahimahullah. This great Imam, the author of this work, and famously known as Ibn Abi Dawud, rahimahullah, who died in the year 316 after the Hijrah. He wrote some lines of poetry in establishing and conveying the Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the creed and the belief of the people of Sunnah and the people of the Jama'ah. That was the Sahaba radiallahu anhum were upon, and that was the generation that came after them, and the generation that came after them, the Khair al-Qurun, or the Qurun al-Mufaddala, or the best of generations were upon. So he compiled it in poetry form, and it is from the most excellent of poems that has been written in establishment of the creed and in defense of the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. The explanation is the explanation of the great scholar of our times, the Shaykh Al-Allama Al-Faqih, Shaykh Salih bin Fawzan bin Abdullah Al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve him. And he is from the great scholars of this era. And his explanation is possibly one of the most easiest and straightforward. And yet at the same time, it is very encompassing in terms of explanation of the creed of Ahlul Sunnah, or the creed of the Salafus Salih, the creed of the early generations. So he mentions at the beginning, and the first chapter is really rotating around At-Tamassuk wa-At-Tamassuk bil-Kitab wa-Sunnah, holding fast to the book and the Sunnah. And holding fast to the book and the Sunnah, then that is, of course, something that is required from every Sunni, from every person who attaches himself to the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is required for him that he has this Tamassuk, or this adherence and this holding fast to the book and the Sunnah. The author Ibn Abi Dawud al-Sijistani rahimahullah, he said, At-tamassak bihablillahi wa-tabi'il huda. Hold fast to the rope of Allah and follow guidance. وَلَا تَكُوا بِدْعِيًّا لَأَلَّكَ تُفْلِحُ. And do not be a person of innovation so that you may attain success. So this is the first line, and this is the first chapter that is explained. تَمَسَّكْ بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ وَاتَّبِعِ الْهُدَى وَلَا تَكُوا بِدْعِيًّا لَأَلَّكَ تُفْلِحُ. Hold fast to the rope of Allah and follow guidance, and do not be a person of innovation so that you may be successful. Shaykh Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala, he mentions, and I'm going to proceed through this explanation so that we get this chapter concluded today. And I advise my brothers and sisters to take notes and to write down, pen down some of the tremendous benefits of these lines of poetry, some of the ayat, some of the hadith, some of the statements of the Salaf, and of course the wisdom that is derived from that, and the explanation that is derived from that, from the likes of Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah ta'ala. So he mentions, bada'a al-nabin, that the composer of these lines of poetry, this manzuma, then he has begun and he has opened this line or these lines with the statement, tamassak bihablillah, hold fast to the rope of Allah, meaning, hold fast, O Muslim, to the rope of Allah, and the rope of Allah is the book of Allah, It is the Quran and it is the Sunnah. And this has been taken from the statement of Allah in Surah Ali Imran, wherein Allah has said, وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And hold fast to the rope of Allah, all of you together, and do not be divided. And likewise, the statement of Allah, from the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّهُمْ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِ تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَأَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتِ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ حَدِيثٍ. Wherein Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, indeed, those from amongst you who live, for a time they will see a great amount of differing. So you are to hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided successors after me. And you are to hold on to that and to hold fast to that and to adhere to that. وَعَدُّ عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ. And that you are to bite onto that with your molar teeth. And beware of the newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter is a bid'ah, is an innovation. And every innovation is misguidance. So in this first line, from the lines of poetry, that what we take from it is that these lines have been taken from the Quran and the Sunnah. And that is that you have been commanded with holding fast to the rope of Allah. And the rope of Allah, it is the Quran and it is the Sunnah of Allah's Messenger. Oh, as he's mentioned, oh, bi ibaratin ukhra, naqul hablullahi, huwa wahyu, o wahyu alladhi anzalahu ala rasulihi, sawa'an kana Quranan o sunnatan. That he said, to put it in other words, that the rope of Allah, then it is the wahyi, it is the revelation that was revealed upon Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it be the Quran or whether it be the Sunnah. And as for the statement of the author, hold fast to the rope of Allah, meaning i'tasim bihi, meaning that you are to hold to the rope of Allah, hold tightly onto it, just as Allah has said, wa'tasimu bihablillah. Just as Allah has said, hold fast to the rope of Allah. And likewise, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in a hadith that has been collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih from Abu Huraira, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, inna Allah yarba lakum thalathan, that indeed Allah loves for you, or that Allah is pleased with you with three matters. An ta'buduhu wa la tushriku bihi shay'a, that you worship Allah alone and that you do not associate partners with Him. وَأَن تَعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا, and that all of you hold on to the rope of Allah united, and that you do not cause separation, that you are not divided. And likewise, that he said, as for the third matter that Allah is pleased with you with, is وَأَن تُنَاسِحُوا مَنْ وَاللَّهُ اللَّهُ أَمْرَكُمْ, that you give sincere advice to the one who is in authority over you. So these three affairs, from them is that you hold fast to the rope of Allah. Because holding fast to the rope of Allah protects you from separation and protects you from division and ikhtilaf. And ikhtilaf, or differing, and iftiraq, separation, them coming about does not occur except due to the fact that an individual does not hold on to the rope of Allah and he does not follow the sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So ikhtilaf and iftiraq, differing and separation, does not come about except due to the absence of holding fast to the book of Allah and the sunnah of his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Such as the iftiraq of the people of the book. The people of the book, that the revelation was given to them. The Torah and the Injil, meaning the The Torah and the Gospels were revealed to them. But they did not hold on to it. Because they did not hold on to the rope of Allah. And because of their absence and their refusal of holding on to the rope of Allah, they divided and they differed. Just as Allah has said, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. That Allah has said, and do not be like those who divided and they differed after they have come to them the bayyinat, the clear proofs, for indeed for them there is a severe punishment. The surah, or the ayah 105 in Surah Ali Imran. So this is the way of the people of the book, that they abandoned the book of their Lord, and so they divided. When they left off following the book of their Lord, that they divided and they separated amongst themselves. وَهَذِهِ نَتِيجَةٌ حَتْمِيَّةٌ لِكُلِّ مَنْ لَا يَأْخُذُ دِينَهُ وَأَقِيدَتَهُ مِنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Shaykh al-Fawzan mentions, and this is the inevitable result for anyone who does not take his religion and he does not take his aqeedah from the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the inevitable consequence, and the result of that is that the ummah, or those people, that they will differ and they will divide. This is the natija, and this is the consequence and the result of not holding on to the book and the sunnah, and not taking your aqeedah and your religion from the book and the sunnah. For this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ وَأَنَا رَبُّكُمْ فَاتَّقُونَ. Indeed this ummah of yours, Allah said, is one ummah, and I am your Lord, so fear me. فَتَقَتَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبَرًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. That Allah said, and those men, they broke their religion amongst themselves into factions. Every party rejoicing in that which is with them. Surah Al-Mu'minun, the two ayahs, 52 and 53. فَتَقَتَّهُ عَمْرَهُمْ. That those men, they broke up their affair. And they became zubra. كُلُّ حِزْرٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. That they became factions, every faction and every party rejoicing in that which is with them. Each of them invented, Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, each of them invented for himself a madhab, a methodology, a manhaj, opposing in that which they invented for themselves, the others. So great tribulations occurred, and much evil came from that, from which there is no protection except in holding fast to the book and the sunnah. The sunnah of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the aqeedah by way of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathers the people together. It is this aqeedah that brings the people together. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِن يُرِيدُوا أَن يَخْدَعُوكَ فَإِنَّ حَسْبُكَ اللَّهُ هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قَلُوبِهِمْ لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قَلُوبِهِمْ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَلَّفَ بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. The ayah in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah number 62 and 63, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, and if they intend to deceive you, then verily Allah is all sufficient for you. For indeed it is He who has supported you, O Muhammad, with His aid and with the aid of the believers, meaning the Sahaba. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قَلُوبِهِمْ. And Allah brought their hearts together. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. And if you, O Muhammad, were to spend the wealth of the earth in bringing their hearts together, you would not be able to bring them together. But rather it was Allah who brought them together, and He is the Almighty and the All-Wise. Shaykh Al-Fawzan, after mentioning these two tremendous ayat, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? And if they intend to deceive you, Allah is sufficient for you. And Allah has aided you with support from Himself, with His own support, and with the aid of the believers, the Sahaba. Allah aided the Messenger of Allah. And Allah was the one وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قَلُوبِهِمْ. And Allah was the one who brought their hearts together. And if you, O Muhammad, were to spend the wealth of the earth, you would not bring their hearts together. It was Allah who brought their hearts together. Listen to these words of explanation of Shaykh Al-Fawzan regarding this tremendous ayah from Surah Al-Anfal, or these two ayahs in Surah Al-Anfal. The Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned, it is not the giving of plentiful gifts that brings the hearts together. No. It is not the abundance of wealth that brought the hearts together. No. Rather, if you intend to bring the hearts together of mankind by the giving of wealth, it will not bring their hearts together. Rather, these things only increase the hearts in disaffection and mutual hatred. No matter how much wealth is spent, it will not bring about harmony between the hearts. That which brings about harmony between the hearts and brings unity of the hearts, it is the Quran and the Sunnah. And Allah has warned us, the most perfect and most high, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from that which befell the previous nations of division, after the clear proofs had come to them. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَمَا تَفَرَّقَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَةِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah that those who were given the book, that they did not divide and separate except after they came to them the clear proofs, the clear bayyana, the clear evidences and proofs. They had no excuse, Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentions, commenting upon that ayah from Surah Al-Bayyana, ayah number 4. That they had no excuse because Allah had clarified for them. However, they abandoned this clear evidence. So then they separated and they divided and they split. Just as Allah has said, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ تَفَرَّقُوا وَاخْتَلَفُوا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. Surah Ali Imran, ayah 105. And do not be like those who divided and differed after they came to them the clear proofs. And likewise the statement of Allah's Messenger, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 213. فَبَعَثَ اللَّهُ نَبِيِّينَ مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ وَأَنزَلَ مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابِ بِالْحَقِّ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فِي مَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ وَمَا اخْتَلَفَ فيه إلا الذين أوتوه من بعد ما جاءتهم البينات بغيا بينهم. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, or that part of the ayah, and Allah sent prophets with glad tidings and with warnings, and with them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent with them the scripture in truth. And that scripture was given to them so that they may judge between the people in matters wherein they differed. So the revelation was sent to those prophets, the scripture was sent with them, that they were given. وَأَنزَلَ مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابِ بِالْحَقِّ لِيَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ فِي مَا اخْتَلَفُوا فِيهِ. That the book was sent with those prophets and messengers. So with that book, they would judge between the people in that which they differed. between themselves, and they would judge with the haqq between them, using those books and those scriptures from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, then Allah jalla wa ala, he mentioned thereafter, and only those to whom the scripture was given, they differed concerning it after the clear proof had come to them through hatred of one another. Then Allah guided by His lead those who believed in the truth of that wherein they differed. And Allah guides whom He wills, ila siratin mustaqim. So here, my brothers and sisters, we see again that when differing occurred, that the haqq or the those things that they differed in between themselves, the decisive matter was brought by way of the scripture that Allah had revealed to the prophets and the messengers. So make no mistake, it is not wealth that brings the hearts together. It is not the following of groups and parties, that every group, بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِيحُونَ, every حزب, that they rejoice in their party that is with them. Each one, as Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned, each one with its methodology, each one with its own aqeedah, each one with its own path that they follow, its own madhab, as he mentioned, with their own madhab, with their own manhaj, with their own aqeedah. That each one invented for himself, كُلٌّ أَحْدَثَ لَهُ مَذْهَبًا وَمَنْهَجًا يُخَالِفُ بِهِ غَيْرَهُ. Each one innovating for itself a madhab, a manhaj, an ideology, a pathway, an opinion differing with the other groups and parties. All of them rejoicing. كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِيحُونَ. Everyone happy. I've got my group. Then what do? Now they want to invite you to themselves. So then they will spend upon you, offer you wealth, offer you riches, come and join us, and we will pay you. What did Shaykh al-Fawzan say? It is not the wealth and the abundance of the wealth that they give that will bring the hearts together. It is not that. Because the Messenger of Allah was informed by Allah, لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم. If you, Muhammad, was to spend the wealth of the dunya upon them, you would not bring their hearts together. Rather, it is Allah who brought their hearts together. With what? With the aqeedah, sahiha. With the aqeedah that was the correct aqeedah. With the revelation of the kitab and the sunnah and holding on to it. And this is why our salaf, barakallahu feekum, they were not beguiled by wealth. And they would not accept payment from Ahlul Bid'ah. And they would not be deceived. No matter how much, rather, even if their lives were in danger, they would give their lives for this aqeedah. And they would not accept the wealth of the people of Ahlul Bid'ah. They would not accept the wealth of the Jahmiyya, nor the Khawarij, nor the Sufiyya, nor the Mu'tazila, and nor their equivalents in our time who come and offer you wealth. Ahlul Sunnah, barakallahu feekum, we do not accept the wealth of Ikhwan al-Muslimin, nor Jamaatul Tabligh, nor any of those people, because that wealth that is polluted, that they give you, so that you may join them, and you may sit with them, and they say to you, take this wealth, and come and teach in our markaz. Take this wealth, and come and teach in our centers. And then you take the wealth, and you take that salary, and you take that meager amount. And then you take it and you say to the people, come now and come to this masjid where I am teaching. And who is the owner of that masjid? Who is the one who is in charge of that masjid or that markaz or that gathering place except Ahlul Bid'ah? Those who are raised upon the books of Mawdudi and Sayyid Khutub and Ikhwan al-Muslimin, Ikhwan al-Muflisin. And you take their wealth. Bring me something from the Salaf that this is allowed. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam He forbade us from accommodating them. And he forbade us from sitting with them. And there is ijma that we do not go to them. And there is ijma of the salaf that we boycott Ahlul Bid'ah. If they want to sit, come and sit in the durus of Ahlul Sunnah. Come and sit in the masajid of Ahlul Sunnah. Come and sit in the masajid of Salafiyya. Sit and benefit. We don't bar them from coming and sitting. Come and sit and learn your deen. But we will not come to you. And we will not strengthen your numbers. Is this the way of Ahmed ibn Hanbal rahimahullah? Is this the way of Imam al-Barghahari? Is this the way of Ibn Battah? Is this the way of Imam al-Lalika'i? Of those great illustrious imams of the Salaf? Is this the way that they would come and they would take wealth from Ahlul Bid'ah and then go and sit in their masajid and take their wealth and then invite Ahlul Sunnah to the masajid of Ahlul Bid'ah? Tell me this is the way of the Sunnah. Show me that this is the way of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have the audacity to speak with the Sunnah, come. Come and show me that this was the way of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, or this was the way of Sufyan al-Thawri, or this was the way of Sufyan ibn Uyayna, or this was the way of Imam al-Zuhri, or this was the way of Malik ibn Anas, or this was the way of Ibn Taymiyyah. Look what Shaykh al-Fawzan said, it is not the wealth. Even if you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was to spend the wealth of the earth, you would not bring the hearts, you will not bring the hearts together by batil. You will not bring their hearts together by giving strength to Ahlul Bid'ah. You will not strengthen the Sunnah by giving strength to Ahlul Bid'ah. Abadan. Haqq and batil. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam divided between them. He did not bring them together. Do not be deceived by those who come to your land and they sit in the masajid of Ikhwan al-Muflisin, of the corrupted brotherhood that was founded in the 1920s and its sister organization in India and Pakistan that is known as Jamaatul Islami or Jamaatul Islamiyya, that was headed by Maududi, its Egyptian counterpart, its founder, Hassan al-Banna. And then thereafter, Sayyid Qutb. These individuals, these organizations, they set up marakis and masajid all across the dunya. You have them in Trinidad. They are in America. They are across Europe. Teaching the ideology, raised upon the ideology of Qutb and Hassan al-Banna and Maududi. Then one who is deceived and beguiled, they offer him money. They say, come and teach in our masjid. Come and sit. But it is in our masjid you will teach. Our masjid. So he takes their money. And he invites the shabab of sunnah. The youth of Ahlul Sunnah to come to the masajid of Ahlul Bid'ah. So they may sit with him. So they sit with him whilst he is taking their wealth. Tell me that this is the way of the sunnah. Tell me, show me that this is the way of the sunnah. That you will barter with Ahlul Bid'ah and with the people of innovation who are clearly upon innovation. Don't tell me Ikhwan al-Muslimin are not from the 72 destroyed sects. Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz said they are from the destroyed sects. The 72 sects of misguidance. Sheikh Muqbil said they were. Sheikh Rabi said they were. In fact, the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah and Salafiyyah hold them to be upon misguidance. Al-Albani, Ibn Baz, Ibn Thaymin, Sheikh Muqbil, Sheikh Rabi', Sheikh Ubayd al-Jabir, you name the ulama. And yet you sit in Trinidad, in a masjid that is operated by Ikhwan al-Muslimin, those who have been raised upon the ideology of Ikhwan al-Muslimin, and you take their wealth, and you invite the shabab, the youth of sunnah, to come to that masjid to sit with you. This is the way of sunnah and salafiyyah. We are not beguiled by wealth. The sahaba were not beguiled by wealth. The sunnah, the people of sunnah cannot be bought off. They cannot be bought off. This argument that they use, those who have been beguiled and deceived, and then they in turn deceive the youth of the sunnah, that they say, Ya akhi, I will take their wealth and I will teach the sunnah. No, barakallahu feekum. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not given that option. لو انفقت ما في الأرض جميعا. If you were to spend the wealth of the earth, you would not bring their hearts together. So where have you come from? When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told that if you or Muhammad were to spend the wealth of the earth, ما ألفت بين قلوبهم, you would not bring their hearts together. So where have you come 14 centuries later, using the wealth that they have given you to unite the hearts of the people together? You are going to bring them to the sunnah whilst you are taking money from Ahlul Bid'ah. You have compromised. Don't tell me that you're going to come and teach us the manhaj. You are going to tell us what the Sahaba would have done and not would have done. We know, barakallahu feekum. Look what Shaykh Al-Fawzan mentioned. Harmony between the hearts. The togetherness between the hearts is not achieved except by holding fast to the kitab and the sunnah, to the haq. When do the people of haq, when do they take wealth from Ahlul Bid'ah and sit in their masajid whilst you have masajid of Salafiyah in this island? The masjid that we are sitting in now is a masjid Salafi, Sunni, Masjid Khalifa, Masjid Salafi, Masjid Sunni. Yet you take money from Ahlul Bid'ah and then you turn your back upon Ahlul Sunnah when they advise you. You wage war against Ahlul Sunnah when they teach you. And you yourself are a shab. You yourself are a youth. You are in need of guidance yourself. You are in need of being directed towards the straight path. Not that you push your nose up in the air when you are advised, barakallahu feekum. This was not upon you to do that, to come and divide the shabab of this country whilst you are sitting with Ahlul Bid'ah and they are writing your check for you every week. This is Sunnah. This is Barbahari. This is Ahmed bin Hanbal. This is Al-Lalika'i. This is Sufyan al-Thawri, this is Hammad ibn Salama, this is Hammad ibn Zayd, this is Nu'ayn bin Hammad, this is the way of the early Salaf, those illustrious Imams. Tell me it is. Show me it is. Show me that this is their way. And then you try and justify it by gathering around teenagers around you. This is why, barakallahu feekum, the importance that the Salaf used to give to the scholars. The scholars, you can't buy them. Walillah alhamd. You can't buy them. Sheikh Rabi is not for sale. Sheikh Ibn Baz is not for sale. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen is not for sale. Sheikh Ubaid al-Jabri is not for sale. Sheikh Muqbil is not for sale. When Ihya al-Turaq al-Islami, who touted itself as a Salafi jam'iyyah, they actually said we are Salafi. They never said that we are Ikhwan. They said we are Salafi. Of course they were not. They were lying. They came to Sheikh Muqbil. He said, I don't want your wealth. Take your dinar and go back to Kuwait. Take your dinar, take your Kuwaiti dinar. The organization based in Kuwait. And even now their tentacles are spread across the Muslim world. Even in Europe, you'll see them. In America, you'll see them. And I'm sure they have something going on here as well. Maybe you don't even know it. They came to Kuwait, they went to Yemen, to Sheikh Muqbil. Sheikh Muqbil had nothing. Mud hut, a fax machine that used to work about 3 hours a day because the generator used to stop. Miskeen, poor. Alim of the deen, muhaddith of the sunnah. They said, we'll do everything. We'll build the village up for you. We'll give you wealth. He said, I don't want your wealth. You are hizbiyun. Go and make tawbah. He said to Abdurrahman Abdul Khaliq, go and repent to Allah for what you have done. Seek forgiveness from Allah and come to the truth and go and sit with Sheikh bin Baz and go and sit with Ibn Uthaymeen and learn your religion. Don't come here with your Kuwaiti dinar. We are not for sale. So now you have a youth comes to your land, heads towards Ikhwan al-Muslimin and accepts their money. Ihya Turath were not. Jam'iyya Ihya Turath from Kuwait, when they went to Sheikh Muqbil in Dammaj, in that era in the early 90s, they said, stay where you are. Just take our wealth and do as you please. I don't want your wealth. I don't want your wealth. Because you are people of tahazzub and hizbiyya. You are partisan people. You are people that want your own group to grow. So you want to give me your wealth so that you can buy me. Make me dependent upon you. Wallah, we are dependent upon Allah. We are not in need of your wealth. So how dare these people come and divide your united word and then try and convince you, well, we can overlook this. We cannot overlook this. Your alliance and your taking wealth from Ahlul Bid'ah and then deceiving the people and then going around to the masajid of Bid'ah, to the masajid of Ikhwan and to the masajid of Jamaat al-Tabligh, 5 or 10 minutes away from a masjid Salafi, from a masjid of Sunnah. 1 week they call you, next week Tablighi, 3rd week Ikhwani, then they call you back again. Which alim allows that? When Shaykh al-Fawzan hafidhahullahu ta'ala was asked the question, oh Shaykh, there are some organizations, today they will call a Salafi, then tomorrow they will call a Mubtadi', they will call a Tablighi, or an Ikhwani, or someone else from the people of Bid'ah. Oh Shaykh, should we continue visiting that place, knowing that the next day or the next week they may call a person of Bid'ah? Should that person be going there? He said he should not be going there. Rather, he is playing with the religion. This is not what is permissible for a Muslim to do. A person who is upon the Sunnah teaching the people. One day Ikhwani, next day him, 3rd day Tablighi, 4th day Sufi, then he comes back. Whilst there is a Salafi masjid 5 minutes, 10 minutes away from you. You are swelling the numbers of Ahlul Bid'ah. And you masakeen are sitting there. What is wrong with you? What is wrong with you, my sister? What is wrong with you, my brother? What happened to your aqal? Where are the uqul? Use your intellect. Look at how the Salaf were. Ask yourself the question, if Barbahari was here, would you do that? Simple question. If Imam Abu Muhammad Al-Barbahari rahimahullah was here, died in the year 329, would he do that? Would Imam Malik ibn Anas do that? Would Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, the Sahabi, do that? If you say from the depths of your heart, yes, either you are a lying kadhab or you are a jahil. Either you're a liar or you're an ignoramus. Open the books of the Salaf and show me where they did that. Al-Marruzi came to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. He said, Ya Aba Abdullah, you would take assistance from a non-Muslim, but you would not take assistance from a person of Bid'ah? He said, oh young man, the kafir will not deceive you. You will not be deceived by him. But this one who comes in the garbs of Islam, he will deceive you. So yes, we'd rather seek aid from a non-Muslim than a person of Bid'ah. So now, where is this man? Where is he? That he can speak with such speech, with such audacity, and then convince the Shabab of Trinidad and Tobago that he is upon the haq? This is what, look what the Shaykh said. هَذِهِ نَتِيجَةٌ حَتْمِيَّةٌ. This is the inevitable result of the one who does not take his religion, he does not take his aqidah, he does not take his methodology from the kitab and the sunnah, he's taking it from elsewhere. Where? Hawa. His hawa. I have decided that I will take their money and I will preserve the sunnah. I have decided that I will sit in the masajid of Ahlul Bid'ah and I will invite the Salafis to the masjid of Ahlul Bid'ah. Why else in your land you have masajid Salafiyya? Who would do that? Shaykh Muqbil bin Hadi Al-Wadi'i, Imam Mujahid of the Sunnah, Lion of the Sunnah, truly Muhaddith. They said to him, oh Shaykh, if there is a masjid of Hizbiyya, partisanship, people of Bid'ah, and a masjid of Sunnah and Salafiyya, But it is further away. Should we take the extra steps and the extra time and go to the Salafi one? He said, yes. You must not go to the Masjid of Salaf, Masjid of Bid'ah and swell their numbers. Go to your brothers of the Sunnah and support them. Strengthen them with your numbers. Strengthen them with your bodies. Strengthen them with your character and your representation there, your presence there. Be with the people of Sunnah. Al-mar'u ala dini khalili. فَانْظُرْ أَحَدُكُمْ مَنْ يُخَالِدْ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person is upon the religion of his companion. So look to see whom you take as your companion. This is Shaykh Muqbil, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So how has this man come amongst your ranks and deceived you? Why? It is because of the adamul alaqa ma ahli al-ilm. Due to the absence of connection with the scholars. He came to you and you were deceived, possibly by his language. Possibly by his language. Well, he's fluent, he's eloquent maybe. Maybe he's memorized this, maybe he's memorized that. And he deceived you. And you fell for it, some of you. It was not upon you, it was upon you to say, let us apply some maturity here. Let's look and let's measure what he's doing in accordance with the Kitab and the Sunnah. Let's measure it. Let's compare it. Because the yardstick is the wahi. He is not the yardstick. His hawa and what he wants and what he wants to earn. And he needs a wage. He needs salary. He needs money. That is not the measure. The measure is the Kitab and the Sunnah and the way of the Salaf. Every time, the Hizbiyun, sometimes even in the United Kingdom, Hizbi Ahlul Bid'ah, they will invite a Salafi Sheikh who doesn't know their condition to the Masjid of Bid'ah. Salafi Sheikh doesn't know. So he attends, catches the flight, they arrange everything, and he ends up there. We find out late, so we don't know. Should we attend or not attend? Sheikh Rabi, Sheikh Ubaid, Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari, Sheikh Muqbil, Sheikh Ahmed Najmi, Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali. Don't attend. Ya Sheikh, but there's a Salafi Sheikh, not a Salafi boy, who's barely out of his teens. Ya Sheikh, there's an alim, faqih, who's coming, but the Ahlul Bidah have invited him, oh Sheikh. Sheikh Rabi, should we go? Sheikh Muhammad bin Hadi, should we go? Sheikh Muqbil, should we go? We've been asking this question for what? You think this question came yesterday? 25 years we've been asking these questions. The answer the same. Why? Because these are established in the books of the Salaf. You don't go and swell the numbers. You don't increase the numbers of Ahlul Bid'ah. Even if the Sheikh has been deceived by them, for whatever reason they lied to him, he doesn't know, maybe the issue wasn't clear to him. If they deceived him, we're going to be following that deception? Is that what we're going to do, Ya Ikhwan? Sheikh Rabi said, don't attend, don't swell their numbers, and don't let the Sheikh think that when he sees the presence of the Salafis, therefore it is a Salafi masjid. No! Don't go. Don't swell their numbers, don't increase their numbers, don't give them strength, don't give them ta'yid. Because today they will call a Salafi. Who are they going to call tomorrow? Bid'i, a mubtadi, a tablighi, a sufi, a mu'tazili, an ash'ari. Then what's going to happen to the shabab? They say, well, we used to sit in those circles. Maybe they could call someone else's group. Maybe I don't know him. Let's go and sit. Let's find out what he's got to say. And they lead you towards misguidance. This is why the salaf used to keep away from them. How did this come about? Because this young man came to this land of yours. He didn't sit with any scholars before coming to you. I know that. You know that. Never sat with Sheikh Rabi', not with Sheikh Fawzan, not with Sheikh Luhidan, not with, well, he wasn't, I doubt whether he was even a man when Sheikh Muqbil died. Right? Maybe he was still a child. Didn't sit with Sheikh Ahmed Najmi, Sheikh Zayd Madkhali, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. Never sat with the scholars of Medina, nor the scholars of Riyadh, nor the scholars of Samita, none of the scholars, he didn't sit with any of them. But you welcomed him with open arms. This was something that I said from the beginning. Don't invite to your lands, and I don't care who it is, except one who is known to the scholars of the Sunnah. Don't tell me I know a talib. I found a talib ilm in Yemen. I found talib ilm in Saudi. Rather, let's show us who you sat with. How long did you sit with them for? How well do they know you? How often did you visit him? When did he see you? What did he say about you? What does he know about you? Don't play catch up with me. Don't start taking money from Ahlul Bid'ah, gathering the people around you from the Shabab, and then start phoning around. The Sunni doesn't behave like that, barakallahu feekum. You're studying Rasulul Salatah, right? What does he say? وقال البخاري رحمه الله تعالى باب العلم قبل القول والعمل والدليل قوله تعالى فاعلم انه لا اله الا الله واستغفر لذنبك فبدا بالعلم قبل القول والعمل. We memorize it. Imam al-Bukhari said that knowledge precedes, comes before speech and action. Not after. You don't do what you're doing, then say, whoa, people are questioning me. Let me cover my back now. Let me say this about the masjid. Let me say that about the masjid so I can keep getting my salary. And I can still gather the shabab around me. And I'll cause them to love me. Because I will keep repeating to them, because I'll show them that I've memorized. And I'll show them that I know this ayah, and I know these many number of hadith. And I'll show them that I know hadith, and I know this, and I know that. And every so often I'll phone a student of knowledge in Yemen. This is how you do it, ya akhi. You act, and you go in like a steamroller, and then when you're questioned, now I'll start looking to back up what I've done. Where's your background? Where did you come from? Who did you study with before you came to teach? From day one, my nasiha did not change. And I don't care who was his friend and who wasn't their friend. I don't care. If you are not known by the ulama, or the people of your land, at the very least, the people of your land who have been giving dawah in that land, and they are known for istiqam and known for clarity, that they say, no, alhamdulillah, he's good. Fulan is good. Okay, khalas. Because the people of the land, they know their streets, right? Amran knows, Imran knows, Idu knows. Right? Yusuf Diab, he knows. Muhideen Publications, they know. They know the people of their land. So they say, no, he's good. He has a study, but he doesn't put himself forward, and he always, barakallahu feekum, he hasn't contradicted the sunnah. He hasn't contradicted the way of the salaf. He doesn't invent principles to back up his own mistakes. No problem. My brothers and sisters, these people that come to you, they have not sat with the scholars. Then they have the audacity to go behind our backs. And they say, these brothers come from Maktaba to Salafiyah, and they cause fitna wherever they go. This is fitna. Telling you, who are your ulama? This is fitna question. Of course it's fitna, because it knocks them down. That which they've tried to build up with Ahlul Bid'ah and with Ikhwan al-Muflisin, we are now questioning them, putting them on the spot. How dare you gather the youth in the masajid of Ahlul Bid'ah away from the Salafiyun, and then you gather a hizb around you, a party around you, that if you now take from the people who is in opposition to your, this so-called teacher of yours, and the teacher finds out, he doesn't talk to you for a week. Becomes cold towards you. Why? Because you've decided to go and sit in a dars organized by Muwahideen Publications, a link with Fulan scholar, or a dars with our brother Abu Hakim, or Abu Idris, or Abu Iyad, or one of the brothers. This is the way of the Sunni, ya akhi. This is why I said from day one, listen to our speech. And you say, no, it's all personal. This is personal. Working with Ikhwan al-Muslimin and taking a wage from them, sitting in their masjid, teaching in their masjid, gathering the Salafis in that masjid, away from the Salafi masajid, you abandon the Salafis. This is what you do. When the Salafis come, you're nowhere to be seen.
When the du'at and the tulabul ilm, they have tazkiyat from the ulama, they come to teach the people, you're nowhere to be seen and your followers are nowhere to be seen. This is salafiyya. And you want to say this is personal? Splitting the ranks of Ahlul Sunnah is personal. Personal. This is not personal, ya ikhwan. Not personal. Barakallahu feekum. I did say to our brother Yusuf, I said, let us begin this book, because it is a lengthy book, and every time we come, we move more and more forward in the book, inshallah. But the point here that I wanted to make today was the fact that, don't be deceived, ya ikhwan. The ulama al-kibar, those, I'm 47, they're old enough, some of them, to be my grandparents. Sheikh Rabi, nearly 90 years old. Sheikh Ubaid, in his 80s. Muhammad bin Hadi, in his 60s. Ulama, Sheikh Al-Fawzan, Sheikh Al-Muhaydan. These ulama are the ones that you should be directed towards in terms of what you want to do in your land. You know the books of the Salaf. Don't be deceived. Don't say to me, ya akhi, he memorized this many lines of poetry and this many hadith. Wallahi, in the founder of Jamaat al-Tabligh, you know his name? Muhammad Ilyas al-Kandahlawi. They say that he memorized all of the Kutub al-Sitta with the chains of narration. Did it protect him from bid'ah? It's not just the fact that you can repeat what you can regurgitate what you've absorbed in terms of memory. Where's your fiqh? Where's your tatbir? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, you know Imam Ahmad, right? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal died in the year 241 from the greats of the Aima, the Imam of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Died in 241. There was a man in his era called Al-Karabisi. This Karabisi had studied with Imam Shafi'i. Right? You know Imam Shafi'i, right? Died in 204, Mujaddid, Imam. The Imam before, out of the four Imams, the order is what? The first one was who? Abu Hanifa, died in 150. Second, Malik, died in 179. Third, Imam Shafi'i, died 204. The fourth, Ahmad ibn Hanbal, died 241. Al-Karabisi studied under Imam Shafi'i. After Imam Shafi'i died, he was taken as a person of knowledge. Not like this Shab, this youth that you have in your land. He was taken as an alim, a scholar of sunnah and hadith. From the companions or from the contemporaries of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. So what happened? When the fitna of the Qur'an happened, or the mihna, when the tribulation of the Qur'an, the khalq al-Qur'an, it occurred, this man, he withheld. He said, al-Qur'an kalamullah wabas. He said, the Qur'an is the speech of Allah and I'm not saying anything else. What did Ahmed say? No. To oppose Ahlul Bid'ah, you must say the end of it. You must say, Al-Qur'an, Kalamullah, Ghayr Makhluq. You must say that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah, not created. What did he say? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying not created. What are you going to do to me? I'm Karabisi. Karabisi, just to give you an idea of what this man was in terms of knowledge and how the people looked at him. Abu Thawr was an imam in the era of Imam Ahmed. An imam, a scholar of sunnah. They said that Abu Thawr, with his scholarship, did not even have a tenth of the knowledge of Al-Karabisi in the knowledge of the deen. Not even a tenth. He's an imam. But he doesn't even have a tenth of the knowledge of Al-Karabisi. But Al-Karabisi would not say Al-Qur'an kalamullah ghayr makhluq. He wouldn't say ghayr makhluq. So what did Imam Ahmed say? He's a mubtadi. He's an innovator, misguided, misguiding others. Don't sit with him, and don't sit with the one who sits with him. That's Karabisi. What do the people say? Well, that's personal, you know. It's personal. Ahmed alim, Karabisi alim, Karabisi with Imam Shafi'i. How can we leave a man like that? What do the people do? Is that what you find today? Say, ya akhi, it's personal. Is it personal? It's deen. Karabisi, subhanallah. And people don't want to give up a little youth, a young boy, a young man who came without any studies behind him, and he came and sat with you, and he deceived you. I'm not saying it for my benefit. I don't even live here. I have not. I don't take money from you. I don't take wages from you. I don't get salary for coming here. And I don't ask for anything. Barakallahu feekum. So this is why I say to you, intabih. Be careful, my brother. Be cautious. That's why Imam al-Barbahari said. He said, look to the people of your time, or look to whom you take from, especially from the people of your time. Karabisi. You know, there was another one. Ya'qub or Na'am. Ya'qub bin Shayba. He wrote 30 volumes of a Musnad in the time of Imam Ahmed. 30 volumes. And he withheld in the issue of the Quran. Imam Ahmed said, Muqtadi Sahib Hawa Dal. He said he's an innovator, a person of desires, misguided. When the ruler wrote to Imam Ahmed and said to him, I'm thinking of appointing him as a judge because of the knowledge of Ya'qub bin Shayba, a man who can write 30 volumes of hadith. They said that if he had completed, it would have gone to 100 volumes. Find me a man like that today. Imam al-Dhahabi said, Allama, Muhaddith, Imam of Hadith. That's what Imam al-Dhahabi said. Then he said, and then he slipped and fell. Imam Ahmed refuted him, and 1,000 a'imma of Hadith followed Imam Ahmed in refutation. Of who? Of Ya'qub bin Shayba. You have a Ya'qub bin Shayba in Trinidad? Who wrote 30 volumes of a Musnad? You have the likes of Al-Karabisi in Trinidad? That you are finding it hard to let go of him because of his knowledge, like the knowledge of Ahmed, or the knowledge of Al-Karabisi, that he's so knowledgeable I can't let go of him. Is he like Karabisi? And the people let go of Karabisi with one kalima of Ahmed. Let go of Ya'qub bin Shayba, let go of Muhasibi. Imam Ahmed did not just say, don't sit with Karabisi, he said, don't sit with the one who sits with him. I don't say that this youth, or these young men that come to you and deceive you, I don't say that they are innovators. But what I say is that this action of sitting with Ahlul Bidah, taking the money of Ahlul Bidah, gathering the people in the masajid of Ahlul Bidah, whilst you have Salafi masajid, this is not from the way of the Sunnah. This is not from the way that you find the Salafi ulama behaving. This is not the advice of Shaykh Rabi'a, not the advice of Shaykh Muqbil, not the advice of Shaykh Ubayd, not the advice of Muhammad bin Hadi. You don't believe me? I will play you recordings. Or I will take you to their houses, you ask them themselves, oh Shaykh, can we take money from Ihya Turaq? Ihya Turaq pretends to be a Salafi Jam'iyyah. Yes, Shaykh, can we take money from Ihya Turaq? They will fund us, give my salary, and then I can teach in the masajid. They will tell you no. If Ihya Turaq, their wealth cannot be taken, then what about Ikhwan al-Muslimin? A masjid that is not upon Salafiyyah. Be careful, ya ikhwan. Look to whom you are taking your knowledge, barakallahu feekum. Anyway, I didn't get a chance to finish this chapter, but at least we did three pages, inshaAllah. Next time, when we return, inshaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy, I want to finish chapter after chapter after chapter. Right, so that at least we are building. So, those of you who taken notes, remind me. We'll do a brief summary next time we come back, inshaAllah, and they will move on. Let's at least benefit from the great a'imma of the salaf of this ummah. Barakallahu feekum. Wa subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.